played golf. Ray told him, sure, he plays. He just sends his caddy down the fairway, and he listens for his voice, and then Ray tries to hit the ball to the voice. Lee was just amazed. Trevino, he said, well, Ray, we need to play sometime. And he said, Ray said, well, that'd be great. The only thing is, no one takes me seriously when I play, so I only play for money. And Trevino, the great golfer, thought, okay. And you know, Ray went on to say, furthermore, I never play for less than $1,000 a hole. And Trevino thinks about it, and he said, well, that's some serious money, but okay, I'm in. When do you want to do it? And Ray Charles answers, you name the night, we'll play. You name the night. Ray was going to turn a weakness into a strength. This morning I want to talk about another blind man in Scripture, though. And he's not a famous singer, piano player. He's not a famous golfer. But he was a famous man in Scripture. And this guy was messed up by life. And in those days, in the days of the Bible, when you were blind, all you could do was sit and beg. He would sit by the roadside just hoping he would hear the clink of coins hitting the bottom of his beggar's cup. But before we meet this poor blind man, we must set the context of this event. And it's found in Luke 18, verses 31 through 34. If you're there, follow with me, or there it is on the screen. Either way, this is what it says. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you, God, for your Spirit in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we are together in fellowship as a body of believers. And we thank you, God, for Jesus above all else. We ask you, Lord, to bless us as we look at this Scripture. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is a kind of a preface to the main text I want to get to, but in this we find in the book of Luke, just the Gospel of Luke, this is the third time that Jesus predicts his own death. And each time he does, it's more explicit, it's more detailed. Beginning with chapter 9 of Luke in 9:51, it says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus resolutely set means he set his face towards Jerusalem. That was why he came, wasn't it? That was the whole purpose of the Son of God coming to earth. So at a certain time, he was in complete communion with the Father. And he said, it's time. And he set his face towards Jerusalem. This begins in chapter 9, and it continues on, of course, to the end of Luke. For example, in Luke 13 and 22, it says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. One more, in Luke 13 and 33, it says, in any case, this is Jesus talking. He says, in any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. So this was what was going on when he is entering into the area of Jericho. So from chapter 9 on, he turns towards Jerusalem. He's heading for his final purpose. He's heading for the whip. He's heading for the mocking. He's heading for the flogging. He's heading for the defeat of Satan. He's heading for the cross. So that is what Jesus is doing as he comes to Jerusalem, which is just, by the way, 15 miles from Jerusalem. Jericho, excuse me, is 15 miles from Jerusalem. And Jericho is a city, it's known as a city of palms because it's an oasis city. There's a spring of fresh water in Jericho. It is 800 feet above sea level. It is very tropical, and it is very hot much of the year. So let's continue our reading in Luke, verse 18, as Jesus reaches Jericho. Luke 18:35, follow with me, it says this, "And Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' He called out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord, I want to see,' he replied. Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God." It's amazing to me as I see the context of our main text here today. What an amazing thing Jesus was doing. He was on his way to Jerusalem to die for you, for me. All of creation hung in the balance of what Jesus was going to do. But yet he stopped for a blind man. Think about that. He stopped for someone disadvantaged. He stopped for someone that was hurting. And that speaks a lot to me today, that Jesus stops for all of us on the road. So as we try to understand this encounter with this blind man, we know from Mark's gospel of this very same event that the man's name is actually Bartimaeus. And we see that Bartimaeus, this morning, I want to point out that he goes through four different stages after he makes contact with Christ. There's nothing new about that. We go through changes when we meet Christ too, don't we? He kind of shakes up our lives and changes us, thank God, as we make contact with Jesus Christ. First stage for old Bartimaeus is simply his blindness. He was a blind man. And I didn't know this until I researched it, but blindness was a very common problem in Palestine. From archaeological readings, it says that Lydia, the city of Lydia, the old saying was that everyone was either blind or had only one eye. I don't know. That's just what it says. And in the city of Jaffa, get this, there was 500 blind people out of a population of 5,000. One out of every 10, they said, were blind. And, you know, even while the law, Leviticus 19 and 14, instructs God's people to care for the blind, there was definitely a religious stigma attached to blindness. And this is borne out in John 9 and 2 when Jesus' disciples said, "Rabbi," about another blind man that Jesus healed, a different guy. The disciples said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So even the apostles didn't quite understand things. There was an assumption made that if you were blind, you somehow deserved what you got. But poor Bartimaeus, this poor man, is relegated to begging by the roadside. And again, as we compare Luke's incident here with Mark, we find out that in Mark, that Bartimaeus was wearing an old garment. It was a garment of a beggar. And I may have mentioned before, but the cloak or the garment that people had wore back then told a lot about who they were. It was like, what do you do? Well, look at his cloak. Bartimaeus's cloak, no doubt, was tattered and torn. It was the vestige of the blind, of the hopeless. And he sits in the blazing heat by a dusty old road, hoping that something would happen to him, because there was little that Bartimaeus could do to affect his own future, his own condition. Do you see Bartimaeus by the road today? Can you picture him? It occurred to me that this is the picture of our spiritual condition, BC, before Christ. Before Jesus, we're just like Bartimaeus. We sit by the road. We sit in our blind condition, hoping that something will happen because we have little power on our own to affect change. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel." What did Jesus do? He came as the light. We are spiritually blind in a dark condition. There's very little we can do about it. And I think, as I was preparing this, I think of so many of my friends that are truly spiritually blind. We try to talk, but it's they are blinded to the things of the Spirit. And I pray that God will pass by them, will use me, will use you to speak the truth to them. And just as Jesus gave physical sight to Bartimaeus, he also gives spiritual sight to those who have not yet come to him. And let's get this straight. Jesus wants everyone to come to him. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, it says, Jesus, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But the first point is his blindness. And one thing you can say about old Bartimaeus, he didn't deny the fact that he was blind. It was obvious. Sometimes we put on a smile. Sometimes we know exactly what to say. Sometimes we know how to act the part of someone with spiritual 20/20. But in reality, there may be darkness in your life. Darkness that you need the light of Christ to illuminate for you. Let's look at our scripture again. Verse 35, it says, As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Let me tell you something. Bartimaeus, his eyes didn't work, but his ears did. You know, he could hear something was going on. And God has given us five senses, hasn't he? Let me see if I can get these right. Our sight, our sense of smell, hearing, taste, and touch, right? I'm kind of proud of myself there. Thank you, Paul. I've been practicing that. Can I suggest that God gives us a sixth sense, and that is his Holy Spirit talks to us. And I believe that Bartimaeus was listening to a voice of the Holy Spirit that was speaking. He's not just a beggar to God. You're not just a nobody to God. You matter to Jesus. He will always stop to help you. He wasn't done with Bartimaeus yet. There was still hope. We have to have hope. Jesus gives hope. There's still hope for every one of us. If we can find that we are in some kind of spiritual blindness or darkness, there is still the sure hope, not just hope. It's a sure thing that Jesus is passing by and he wants to help. That's stage number one of Bartimaeus' transformation, blindness. Number two, his belief. Stage number two. And the way he reacts in our text, he knew the name of Jesus. He knew there was something special about this guy. He must have sat by that little road and heard people conversing as they would go near. He must have heard a lot about Christ. He must have dreamt about this day. Do you ever dream about things that are godly? You know? Do you ever dream about a temptation that can be taken away? Do you ever dream about a condition that can be eradicated, or a family matter, or a relationship? I say Bartimaeus was sitting and he was dreaming and he was, but he heard the name Jesus and it meant something. As he sat in that prison of darkness. You know, just last fall, Sandy and I went to Silver Dollar City. Have you been there? Lots of fun. Just inside, you can go on, is it Marvel Cave? You can go down under the whole park in this really deep, dark cave. And it is a marvel. And we went down there, and I remember at a certain point, they turned out all the lights. And I'm telling you what, that was a dark, dark. That was the kind of darkness you could just about feel. You know, and how nice it was when they turned the lights back on. I think Bartimaeus was in that deep, deep darkness. And only Jesus, this is what he does. He turns on the lights in our life. No matter how dark things are, Jesus knows how to turn on the lights. Let's go to verse number 38. This is pretty good. Bartimaeus called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then look up in 37, right before that. The crowd told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," right? But what does he say? "Jesus, thou Son of David." Jesus of Nazareth was just where he was from. That's what the crowd said. You know, Jesus, he came from Nazareth. It's like saying, "I'm Jeff from Crawford County." And what does that tell you? That tells you that I'm from kind of south central Missouri, right? It tells you that I'm southwest of St. Louis. It also tells you that I like my ground with lots of rocks in it. Can anybody agree with that? I wish all our rocks were diamonds. You ever try to make a garden out of the soil around here? It's crazy. But Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David." That said a great deal. That said that it means, "Jesus, you are the one we've been looking for." He said, "You are the Savior of the world." By just saying that phrase, "Jesus, Son of David," it means that even a blind man can see that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the God-man sent from heaven to be the Savior of the world. In that phrase, Bartimaeus was expressing his faith in Jesus, and that he had faith that Jesus could help him. Do you have that same faith today? As Jesus passes by, as he walks through the pews of this church, as Jesus is available to you, do you have the faith that says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me"? Do you even know who Jesus is? He's the only Son of God, and that he can help you. That's stage two. Not only was it obvious that Bartimaeus was blind, number two, that he had faith or belief. I'm going to give you number three, in that he was bold. And I love this part of the scripture. His boldness. Look at verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him, Bartimaeus, and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what Bartimaeus was saying? "You can't shut me up." He was saying, "My eyes don't work, but I'm telling you, I got a set of pipes on me. You can't shut me up. Don't try to shut me up. Jesus is passing this way. This is my chance." Think about that too. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, right? He was headed to die. This was the last opportunity for this man. This could be your last opportunity. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what today holds. Pastor Chris was telling me when I got here this morning, yesterday he came to the church and he was hydroplaning, right? It was crazy. We don't know what's going to happen to us. Bartimaeus took advantage. So Bartimaeus said, shouted all the more. What's the takeaway here? Don't let anybody shut you up about Christ. Claim him proudly. Serve him courageously. You know what? We need some loud Christians today, I believe. It's been too long that we've been quiet. Too long that we've listened to our society when they say, be quiet. Instead, I believe it's time to shout all the more, like Bartimaeus. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." We need to come boldly. And you know what? Bartimaeus just kept shouting, right? He shouted all the more. That tells me something about my prayers. I need to keep on asking, right? I need to not give up. When the voices of society or the voices in my head of the old man, the old sinful Jeff, say, just give up. I need to keep asking, just like Bartimaeus did. Keep shouting. And, you know, sometimes we don't even know that we're blind. It can get so common. It reminded me as I was studying this of the book of Revelation and the letter to the church of Laodicea. Do you remember that? When Jesus corrects the church and tells them to buy eye salve from him so that they can see. We need to ask the Lord for us to see our blindness. That's kind of crazy, doesn't it? Sound like it's like an oxymoron, to see our blindness. But I believe spiritually it is true. Let's go back to the scripture on verse number 40. It says, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Again, I want to bring in just a little bit more flavor from the gospel account in Mark of this exact same incident. Because it tells us that Bartimaeus, as he was making his way, you know, here in Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he was brought to him, Mark's account says that he threw off his garment, that cloak I was telling you about. He threw that off. He was still blind. He was just on his way to Christ. He threw off that old, stinky, shoddy, ripped up, dirty cloak of a beggar. Because his faith said, I won't need this anymore. I am on my way to Jesus, and he's got something much better for me. He's got something much better. Can I tell you something this morning? Again, the takeaway for me is we need to throw down the things in life that define who we are. You know, people like to define who we are. You meet somebody, hello, who are you? Yeah. What do you do? Okay. That's, you know, where are you from? Okay, I've defined who you are. But we need to throw off our cloak of what the world sees and make our way to Jesus. Verse 40b says, when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Okay, this is Jesus talking. What do you want me to do for you? He's the creator of the world, right? Do you think he knew what Bartimaeus wanted? Probably so. I think he had a good inclination what Bartimaeus wanted. So why did he ask him? He wanted Bartimaeus to verbalize it himself. He wanted him to tell him, and Bartimaeus answered, Lord, I want to see. Have you verbalized with God what you need? I believe Jesus wants us to converse with him and have something that we need in agreement with his will. But we need to tell him what we need. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want me to do for you, Jesus said. I believe he's saying that to you today and to me today. What do you want me to do for you? What is your heart's cry? Do you need help, you know, in a temptation? Do you need forgiveness of all your sins if you've never come to Christ before? What do you need Jesus to do for you? You know, after Bartimaeus knew his blindness, placed his belief in Jesus, was bold enough, then there was one thing left. It was to receive his blessing. Stage four, blessing. Look at verse number 42. It says, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight, followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. There is a spiritual principle here. Jesus responds to faith. That's what he says. Receive your sight, your faith has healed you. We need to offer up faith to Jesus. Because Bartimaeus believed and put his faith in Jesus, he received his sight from him. I believe this morning that God is looking for more Bartimaeuses, or Mrs. Bartimaeus, whatever. We need to be as bold as he was. We need to have the faith he did. He was a blind man, but yet sometimes he sees a lot better than we do on what needs to be done. It's interesting in 43, it says, Bartimaeus went, he received his sight, followed Jesus, praising God, which led the other people to praise God. When we follow Christ and when we believe him and follow him and praise him, it leads other people to have faith and praise God too. The story of Bartimaeus this morning is a story of victory. It's also a story of change. We must be willing to change. When Jesus shines a light that illuminates and drives out the darkness of anything in our life, we must do as Bartimaeus did. Praise the Lord. Bartimaeus went from darkness to light. He went from sitting in the dust to following Christ. He went from begging to praising. And like Bartimaeus, we need to recognize blindness. We need to believe in who Jesus truly is. We need to be bold enough not to ever stop asking and shouting, not to listen to the crowd, but to go against the grain of our world and to receive a blessing from Christ. I believe this morning Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? You know, in that first illustration I began with Ray Charles and Trevino, his weakness, Ray Charles, was a strength only in the dark. Our weakness is strength, but only in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, Jesus is talking. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes we need to admit our weakness so that the strength of God can come in our lives. This morning, I want us to realize today that this is Independence Weekend. Amen. Tomorrow's Independence Day, and we celebrate. Today, can we celebrate independence from darkness in our life, from a blindness in our life? Can we depend on Christ today and shout to Him with boldness and declare independence from a problem in our life as we cling to Christ? I believe He's going to turn on the lights and the darkness will fade away. Would everybody bow their heads, please? I think today is an excellent day to come before the Lord in our hearts and just to tell Him, God, there's something there. There's something there that there's a darkness. But I'm going to cling to You today. I'm going to invite You. And as You pass by me this morning, right now, God, I want to shout Your name. I want You, Lord, to stop on this dusty road of life. And I invite You, God, to help me and to heal me of blindness. And it may be anything in your life. It may be just any kind of problem, or maybe you just have never really accepted Christ. If that's you today, just raise your hand for just a moment. I will not point you out. I won't do anything like that. I just want to pray with you from where I'm at. Yes. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank You today because You are so good. I thank You for Your heart, O Lord, that even though You were headed to Jerusalem, You made time for a poor blind beggar. And that's me. That's me today. And I know by a raised hand that's someone else today, that we are admitting our blindness to You, God, right now. But we have belief of who You are. You are Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, the One that was to come. You came and You changed the world, and we claim You, Lord, with all we have. And we will boldly ask You and shout to You. And we know that You will bless us right now. We come to You today, Lord, with our hearts full of gratitude for You. We thank You, God, for this day, for these people that have come out in inclement weather because they love You. We thank You, Lord, for the joy we had during worship today. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us a wonderful time, and a wonderful time of fellowship, and a wonderful time in Your Word, O God, that we can see Your heart, Your love, Your mercy. And You're no respecter of persons. You love us just like You did Bartimaeus. And we give You praise for that. We ask You to bless us, O God, the remainder of this weekend with safety as we devote ourselves to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.